Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It is Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. I got my Focus right here. Sparkling water with a spark. Caffeinated, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com. Caroline Fenton is here. Relaxed. Happy holidays to you. Hope it was great. How are you today, Caroline?
It was a good one. It was a wonderful holiday, but I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Outstanding. Ian is back today. How are you, Ian?
What'll put up? Doing great. Thank you.
By the way, it was Ian who predicted the Titans were going to have to score 20 points in order to win Thursday night. So gold star goes to Ian. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm Jewish. So I have always loved Christmas Day. And you would think to yourself, wait a minute, why would somebody who's Jewish love Christmas Day? Santa never visited my house. I don't get presents on Christmas. We don't get the family together and round up and have, you know, Christmas dinner at Aunt Bessie's house. And we don't have Christmas lunch at Uncle Bubba's. We don't do any of that. But I've always told people, the reason I love Christmas is because Christmas is the one day of the year that people like me know that we don't have to hear from any of you. And that's exactly what happened. So we had the best football weekend possible. And I knew you all were going to be assembling toys for kids or out there at your uncle's house. Or I knew I didn't have to hear from anybody. It was great. It was great. I was thinking about Floyd today. And I thought about, he never cared much for the holidays because he was always coaching football. But I was thinking about the fact, how much would he have loved Tuesday night football, Thursday night football, Saturday football, Sunday football, and tonight a meaningful game for the Titans on Monday night football. He'd have loved it. Think about it. There was a meaningful game for the Titans Thursday, the Titans game. There was a meaningful game on Saturday, the Colts game. There was a meaningful game on Sunday in the early slot, Buffalo, New England. There was a meaningful game in the late slot, Kansas City. And tonight, Miami, if they win, they're in the playoffs. As of today, they visit Nissan Stadium on Sunday. It's a great football weekend. But right now, I listen to all the chatter. If the playoffs were to start today, Ian's little update there told you everything you need to know. The Titans would be the number two seed in the AFC playoffs. In fact, Buffalo and Cincinnati will be battling for 3 and 4. It is unlikely that the Titans would fall beyond 2 based upon the way things are playing out right now. I would say the Titans have a better shot at being number 1 than they do at being number 3, which is crazy. But when I hear all the talk after this weekend of football, where everybody watched a lot of the same games, I don't hear anybody talk about the Titans. Titans played on Thursday night. Colts played on Saturday. And I hear people talking about the Colts. Oh, man. Watch out for Indianapolis. The Colts are the real deal. They went to Arizona and beat a team that for the second straight year has completely fallen off the table. By the way, I'd be looking at Kingsbury if I was in Arizona right now because, again, last year they were red hot to start the season, fell apart, not very good. This year they were red hot to start the season. Looks to me like Arizona's falling apart. We could talk about the fact that the Colts didn't have an offensive line, which is true, and they didn't have Darius Leonard. But, again, nobody says that about the Titans, and their win over the red hot San Francisco team. Watch out, no one wants to play them. Oh, Titans beat them? Yeah, screw them. But now everybody's talking about the Colts. Then the Patriots, a team everybody's talking about. They've got Buffalo in the early slot. Here comes Buffalo. Josh Allen. I thought Josh Allen played great yesterday. I loved watching Josh Allen play. I thought his throws, for the most part, were on the money. I thought he really gutted it out at Foxborough. I thought he had a great scramble on the fourth down where New England had kind of sniffed it out. And he made like an Allen Iverson crossover move to sneak between a defensive lineman and a corner to get the first down. I thought that was a great game by Buffalo. I thought they hung in there. I thought they played tough. They looked like a team on a mission. But this is still the same Buffalo team that's been dropping all these games recently that everybody's been saying, is Buffalo any good? Then they beat the Patriots. Boy, Josh Allen, he's special. Watch him go. Kansas City hasn't lost since they came in here 2 months ago. So you've got to give them their due. They are the class of the AFC. Right now, they look like the number one team in the conference. And they absolutely blew the doors off of the Steelers, which is even more heartbreaking to me after what had happened last Sunday, because deep down inside, as much as Titan fans are making excuses for Nick Westbrook-Ikhina or a fumbled center snap or Racy McMath or Anthony Firkser or whatever have you, losing to the Steelers last week was really inexcusable. And it's the reason why you're not the number one seed now. But Kansas City blew their doors off and everybody today. How about the Chiefs? What about the Chiefs? We got to talk about the Chiefs. Now, again, I'll say this. We do need to talk about the Chiefs. Chiefs are pretty good. Tonight, Miami's probably going to beat New Orleans. New Orleans is starting Ian Book at quarterback. And when Miami beats them, you'll hear, oh, my God, seven in a row. Nobody wants to play them. So when it comes to the AFC, and let's make the assumption Miami beats New Orleans. Are we okay with making that assumption today? They've won six in a row, and they're playing Ian Book.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Okay. If that were the case, this is the AFC right now. Number one, Kansas City. Oh, my God, look at Mahomes. Look at Andy Reid. They can't be beat. Number two, Tennessee. Oh, yeah, Tennessee won Thursday night. Okay. Number three, Cincinnati. Joe Burrow cannot be stopped. Joe Burrow, 552 yards. He just absolutely ate the Ravens alive. Look at these receivers. The Bengals are the next team of the decade. I feel like that's kind of the response when it comes to the Bengals after their big win over the Ravens. Now, I'm not going to get too jazzed up one way or another on this because I didn't watch that game. So as far as the other two games that had Titan implications, I did not watch Cincinnati. And I did not watch the Chargers lose to the Texans, which, by the way, woof. Now, I did see on, I watched Primetime on ESPN Plus, Boomer and Booger, and they were kind of breaking down the highlights of the game, but I'm not going to pretend to you like I watched that Bengals game. But Joe did throw for 552 yards, or 25 yards, or whatever. And let's just hope that Joe can do it this week at Kansas City. Fourth-seeded Buffalo. Did you see Josh Allen against the Patriots? Oh, my goodness. Those receivers. Buffalo. Wow. Fifth-seeded Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor might be the league MVP. And you know what? We all gave up on Carson Wentz so early. We've got to be honest. The Colts, nobody wants to play them. They've got a great coach and a great general manager and a great roster. Now, again, this isn't what I'm saying. This is what everybody else is saying. I thought Wentz on Saturday made one amazing throw. That touchdown pass that basically won the game. I thought that was a great throw by Carson Wentz. Maybe his best throw that I've seen him make this season. Other than that, I think he's pretty average. Kind of reminds me of the guy playing quarterback here. But everybody talks about Indianapolis like they are unbeatable. So they're right now your first wild card. Sixth seed New England. Oh, hey, I know that it was tough on Mac Jones those last two games, but you know Belichick. Belichick will have him right. People, you don't want to play New England. So it's like the one team that's going to make the playoffs in the AFC that nobody's talking about, even though they played on national TV this week, is the Titans. Even if Miami makes it, Baltimore makes it, or the Chargers make it as that final wild card team, which does matter because as of right now, that's who the Titans would play. There's a positive storyline you will hear with all these teams that will cover the national media. Miami wins tonight. You're going to hear about how they've won seven in a row. They were 1-7. Now they're 8-7. If Baltimore finds their way into the playoffs, they'll tell you, yeah, they got killed by the Bengals, but Lamar Jackson didn't play. And they lost to Green Bay, and Lamar Jackson didn't play. But Lamar Jackson's in there. And if the Chargers make it, they'll tell you how good Herbert is. But I don't hear anything when it comes to the Titans. So I think it's time now to look at the AFC and say, okay, what's the reality of the AFC? And I think it's really simple. Right now, Kansas City is the class of the AFC for two reasons. They've got home field advantage, which it is very hard to play in Arrowhead. Don't confuse yourself. Don't tell yourself, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. There's not a big difference between Kansas City coming here and you going to Arrowhead for an AFC championship game. I've been here when the Titans have played Kansas City in Nashville, and I've been there for the AFC championship game. I know there's a difference. The second reason why Kansas City is the class of the AFC is they're the one team that's got it figured out at quarterback to where there's not some sort of a question. Even Joe Burrow, who right now looks like Peyton Manning and Johnny Unitas combined into one, even there's a question with Joe Burrow. Is his line going to be able to protect him against a better team? Can Joe go on the road in the playoffs and light up a good defense? If they get matched up with, say, I don't know, Buffalo, who's got the number one defense in the NFL, which, by the way, was shocking to me when I found that out. If Joe Burrow gets matched up at Buffalo, how's he going to fare? How's he going to fare this week when he knows he's got to go shot for shot with Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes probably has a better defense and certainly has a better offensive line? So every team's quarterback in the AFC's got a question mark. Yours certainly has a major question mark. But what I realized from this weekend is that all of these teams can beat all of these teams. The Titans probably will be the number two seed in the AFC. That means they'll draw the Chargers, who just lost to the Texans, the Ravens, who have nobody left on their team, or the Dolphins, who have Tua at quarterback. And guess what? All three of those teams can beat the Titans. Every other team in the AFC, Titans can beat the Colts, they've already done it. Titans can beat the Bills, they've already done it. Titans can beat the Chiefs, they've already done it. We saw the Titans play the Patriots. Titans played a horrible game. They had no A.J. Brown, they had no Derrick Henry. I think they could beat the Patriots, especially if the game's here at Nissan Stadium. So the AFC is wide open. We tend to do this. We watch Kansas City obliterate an overmatched Pittsburgh team at home. And we immediately say, nobody's beating that. Just like Indianapolis. Indianapolis has won 2 weeks in a row on a Saturday, and people are telling you, there's no stopping the Colts. Let's see somebody, one of these teams that has a decent quarterback and a good offense and a good coach. Let's see them load the box, stop Jonathan Taylor, get a lead, now see what happens to Indianapolis. What if they have to go on the road to Buffalo and they have to play the Bills, who they already smashed this year, and Buffalo says, you know what? We're not going to let Jonathan Taylor run it for 1,800 yards. Carson, you better beat us. And Josh Allen has the kind of game he had yesterday. It's wide open. It's almost like flipping a coin. In statistics, if every game were 50-50, you'd really want the number one seed because that's a one less flip of the coin. Now, we know that it's not statistics, and we know it's not 50-50. But the reality is, even the teams that look good right now look good this week. What are they going to look like next week? This is the AFC. It's wide open. And the Titans have not played up to snuff as far as the AFC is concerned. But that's because they're missing their best player, who by all accounts will be back when this really matters. So what was my takeaway? While I'm sure you guys watched all the same games I watched, you guys watched the Titans Thursday, you watched the Colts on Saturday, you watched the Patriots yesterday, you watched the Chiefs, and you're going to watch the Dolphins tonight. While I think some people will look into these games and think, oh my God, how are the Titans going to be able to stop Josh Allen? How are the Titans going to be able to stop Jonathan Taylor? How are the Titans going to be able to beat Kansas City? My take was, these teams are all equal. And it's all about the bounce of the ball, who fumbles in the wrong spot, whose pass rush gets to the quarterback at the right time, who makes the right interception. The Rams played Minnesota yesterday, and this should tell you the difference between the AFC and some of the NFC teams. Minnesota still somewhere around that contending for a playoff spot in the NFC. Minnesota played the Rams. Matthew Stafford threw 3 interceptions yesterday. I will go on record right now and tell you that if Ryan Tannehill throws 3 interceptions in a playoff game, the Titans are done. There is no way out of that hole. Fair?
Fair.
Matthew Stafford threw 3 interceptions yesterday, and I'm not even sure Minnesota had a chance to win that game. That's the difference between a contender and the rest of the NFC. The AFC, you got the Titans, you got the Chiefs, you got the Bills, the Bengals, the Patriots, the Colts, and if you want to throw one of these other teams that will make the playoffs, Baltimore, Chargers, Dolphins, whoever, Steelers, I don't care, throw them in there. Raiders, whatever. But those are the 6 teams. And I think that it's wide open. And the biggest advantage belongs to Kansas City because they're at home and they play one less game. And that's it. We saw how close it was when they played the Chargers a couple weeks ago. That is the line. A bad coaching decision cost you in the playoffs this year. A misfielded punt, Chester Rogers, will cost you the playoffs this year. A batted ball in the air intercepted, like Tannehill was last week at Pittsburgh, will cost you the playoffs this year. And a great play by A.J. Brown might be what sets you apart. Derrick Henry taking over might be the difference. So buckle it up, because this past weekend didn't tell me, hey, the AFC is this, and that's how we should approach the playoffs. It told me the AFC is wide open. And even though they're not in first, right now, having the two seed, essentially guaranteeing if you can win the first game that you'd get two games at home in the playoffs, maybe three. That's a big deal. Let's get it rocking and rolling. Your reaction from the weekend. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. This AFC is wide open. And nobody's talking about the Titans from Thursday. Even when the Titans won on Thursday, nobody was talking about the Titans from Thursday. Instead, everybody's just talking about how bad Jimmy was. Then they forgot about that. They celebrated Christmas. Then the Colts. Has Indy Ben already texted the text line?
He has not yet, but I am stunned. Anxiously awaiting for Indy Ben.
He must be celebrating Christmas still or something like that, because I figured he'd be the first person I'd hear from. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The real reality that I think has to hit us for the Titans after Thursday night's game, after watching all of these games, can they do it? We'll talk about that next. Stillman & Company. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Sparkling water with a spark. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back to what I witnessed last night. I tested the home team last night, and I said, do not let that team get a hold of the number one overall seed, because they're going to be hard to beat in that stadium in two home playoff games. And I'm looking at what Kansas City has left. They got Pittsburgh at home. Should win that. But at Bengals, it'd be dicey. And at Denver to close against an arch rival, I don't know.
Right.
Could they slip up and drop one of those games? Because Tennessee has left Miami at home and at Texans. I'm pretty sure they'll win those two games.
You think so? Miami's going to be tough.
I don't think so. I think Tennessee will beat
Tua. Tua going to make
and
you eat the
do
words.
Not let the Tennessee Titans get that big stud runner back for the playoffs, because they say it's very possible.
It's possible, yeah.
That Derrick Henry could be back from a Jones fracture in his foot. But they said he's on course that they're looking at potentially for game one of the playoffs. He could be back.
There you go. Skip Bayless said Friday, do not let the Titans get the number one seed. And I think that's why my heart hurts so much for that Pittsburgh loss. Because remember what I tell you on Monday last week when they lost to the Steelers, Caroline, I was like, oh my goodness, it was right there. Then A.J. Brown comes back. Then Derrick Henry comes back. Then you're the one seed. Then Kansas City has to play either New England or Buffalo or whomever, and you don't have to play any of it until Kansas City would come here for an AFC Championship game.
And I think the most frustrating thing there is not only was the one seed so close within reach, that game was so close within reach. It wasn't like a complete blowout like we saw the Chiefs in the Washington football team yesterday, where it makes it maybe a little bit easier to swallow. Like, you know, the Titans weren't even in that game. It couldn't have even a possibility.
No.
It was the exact opposite of that. The Titans were in the game, and the Titans could have won that game. The Titans should have won that game. They had that game won, and they gave it up. I think that, for me, is the most frustrating thing, that all of this was so close within reach. If the Titans just made a few less mistakes.
And that's all these games. That's all of them. Every single game this weekend. Why Cleveland lose? Because they threw four interceptions. Now, I'm going to say this, by the way. That last Baker Mayfield interception, where the DB was holding the guy's back. I mean, this officiating is so bad in the NFL. I'm not sure it's ever been worse. And I don't know if I'm like one of these old guys who, you know, I had an uncle who fought in World War II. And he, before he passed away, told me, he was like, I've never seen the world in a worse place. I'm like, what are you talking about? You were like flying a bomber jet over Tanzania. What, like, What do you mean you've never seen it in a worse place? But I think that's just like the older you get, or like the recency bias of this is the worst I've ever seen. This officiating it's in bad. The league is horrendous.
And I think the league should be very ashamed.
But Cleveland lost that game because Baker threw four interceptions. That's all these games are decided like that. Except for like maybe Kansas City, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh threw an interception early. If you had gotten one interception of Pittsburgh last week, you'd have won. Why'd you beat the 49ers?
Because Jimmy threw the ball over.
Because Jimmy threw the game away. So that's my point here, is that if the Titans are going to go to the Super Bowl, it is going to require three games where they don't make mistakes. And that means getting lined up correctly on a punt, Chris Jones. That means hitting all your field goals, Randy Bullock. That means not throwing the ball to the other team, not fumbling the football. That's what they have to do. The Titans have enough talent. When I watch all these other games, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they've got enough talent to compete with all these teams except for maybe the Chiefs, and Derrick Henry's the guy who I think evens the scale.
I think that's fair to say.
So if you go into a game with Buffalo, Josh Allen is not going to be able to sit back in the pocket because Bud Dupree and those bad boys up front are going to be coming for him. It's like Burrow yesterday. The Ravens are completely out of players, whether it's COVID or injuries. They got hit by injuries in training camp. And we sit here and make excuses for the Titans. But, I mean, they had one quarterback yesterday, and it was Josh Johnson. And that's who was their quarterback for Baltimore. And they've got injuries all over the place. Running back, defensive back. And so, Joe's got three really good receivers and a really good running back. So, Joe Burrow can just stand back there all day, wait for one of those guys to get open, throw him the football. That's how you get 500 yards. There will not be a situation like that for Joe Burrow against the Titans if they play in the playoffs. Because even though those three wide receivers are better than the combination of Christian Fulton, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, Buster Screen, and Chris Jackson, it doesn't matter because if Bud Dupree and Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry are all over Joe, and he's got one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL, those guys aren't going to have the time to get open, and Joe's not going to be able to sit back there and throw it 55 yards down the field. Now, you leave that pocket for Joe, he's like Dan Marino, because he looked like Dan Marino yesterday. But as far as talent's concerned in the AFC, I think it's so right there. Like, I think Indy has as much talent as you have. I think you've got as much talent as Kansas City has once Derrick Henry comes back. I mean, I think this is all kind of the same. And that's what's going to make the AFC playoffs great. So the reality is, can the Titans not make mistakes for 3 weeks in a row? And that's where I have a hard time analyzing the field and seeing the Titans come through and get to Los Angeles.
Have we seen the Titans play mistake-free football for 3 weeks in a row?
Yes, we have.
That stretch. That Bills, Rams, Colts stretch.
Well, yes and no.
Chiefs.
Yes and no. They made mistakes against the Bills and won that game. And they made mistakes against the Colts and won that game. Tannehill had an interception, I believe, in all of those games. But, I mean, the one that he got
but
you down.
Having Derrick Henry.
He got you down 14-0 in the Colts game. You're not getting down 14-0 to the Colts this year and beating them in the playoffs.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, can you get through with, like, Tannehill trying to put a ball in a place and a guy intercepting it or one fumble? Sure. You can overcome that. What you can't overcome is the wrong fumble or a plethora of all of those things happening at the same time. But I think your overall point was, have the Titans been able to go mistake-free for 3 weeks in a row? And the answer is, for the most part, no. And that's why I have a hard time with them getting to Los Angeles.
And it's going to be incredibly difficult. And it's going to be increasingly difficult week in and week out. Because you can play against the Jags and not turn the ball over and win that game. And that's significantly easier to do than at Arrowhead when you're playing Patrick Mahomes.
Well, and if you're the 2 seed, you'll get the 7 seed. And the 7 seed, if it's Baltimore, the Chargers, or the Dolphins. And I've run through like the ESPN playoff simulator. And yesterday's Chargers game was, I think, kind of, again, the idea that you really can't predict this stuff, especially with COVID. You can't predict this stuff because who's going to be in, who's going to be out. But I was like kind of playing around, like, okay, yeah, they'll win this game or they'll win this one. Or like, I don't think Baltimore is going to beat the Rams.
No.
So I, you know, messing around with that. The Chargers seem to be the most likely opponent the Titans are to land on unless they lose this week to the Dolphins. And if they lose this week to the Dolphins, then everything's all screwed up anyways, and they're probably not even in the same class with all the other teams we've been talking about, and we can kind of just forget about the Titans for a little bit. But I'm going to assume that the Titans will find a way to beat the Dolphins, which we'll get into throughout the course of the week, but that they'll be able to do that. And so it's probably looking like the Chargers, which, again, you're going to have to play mistake-free football when you play the Chargers. Now, the good thing about the Chargers is, as is their history, especially in the playoffs, they love playing mistake-filled football. So perhaps they'll give you a couple like they just gave the Texans a couple yesterday. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Reaction Monday. Powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark drink. Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S.com. Jack's mad at me. Why are you mad at me, Jack? Thank you for calling 615-737-1025. Why are you mad, Jack?
Mr. Stillman.
Sir.
This is the first time I've ever called in on a talk show.
Okay.
I never thought I would. Anyway, you really hurt my feelings talking about family, getting together as a family to have to celebrate Christmas. First off, I don't care what religion you are, but you shouldn't have this what do you call it? I'm not a smart man, but I just know I was insulted by the things you said.
What did I Christmas. Say that insulted you about Christmas, Jack?
Christmas, you don't have, we don't enjoy Christmas, we don't do this with Christmas, this, that Christmas, and Bubba gets together with his family and has dinner. You know, this is what the South is about, brother. If you don't like the South, you need to leave it.
So your feelings are hurt because I don't celebrate Christmas. So even though you don't care what religion I am, you don't like the fact that I don't celebrate anything that has to do with Christmas and am not upset that I don't get to celebrate Christmas.
Well, no, I don't care if you celebrate Christmas or whatever you celebrate. I'm saying you are insulting the people that do.
How?
Celebrate these things. By your monologue. Just go back and listen to what you said. Do you ever do that? Go
I
back
do.
And listen to your statement.
It's like watching game tape. See, I disagree with you, and if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. I actually have no beef with Christmas. In fact, I don't have any problem. Thank you for your call, Jack. I don't have any problem with people who wish me Merry Christmas. I don't celebrate it, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, actually, I'm Jewish, so I don't celebrate Christmas, so don't wish me a Merry Christmas. I actually kind of chuckle a little bit whenever somebody who knows that I'm Jewish says, oh, yeah, have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Mike, guys, it's fine. Now, Caroline, you celebrate Christmas. Were you offended by anything I said in reference to Christmas?
I was not. No, because I took it in the fact that people were celebrating Christmas things and you were not, so you were watching games.
I'm not telling people they don't have to celebrate Christmas. I'm not telling them it's bad that they celebrated Christmas. I'm just telling you I don't do it. So, okay. So I watched football all weekend, and I didn't have anybody call me or bother me or whatever because you all were celebrating Christmas and thus not calling me. I'm not sure how that's offensive. The one thing that we're not going to do on this show, and I am sorry if I hurt Jack's feelings, the one thing we are not going to do on this show is we are not going to get offended by things that are not offensive. And I'm sorry, but what I said was not offensive. So I'm really not sorry, even though I just said that I was sorry. But I'm sorry that he feels that way.
All right, then.
And I understand that Christmas is big in the South. By the way, Christmas is big everywhere. Like, it's not just the South. It's not like if we put up a map of the United States and say, okay, who celebrates Christmas? It's not one area of the country. This is not college football. And I understand that. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're on to your phones about football and football-related things coming up next here on the program. Plus, Oh, my God, the Colts fans and the media that just loves the Colts, especially the media that covers the Colts. I get some thoughts on that, Stillman and Company, right here on a Reaction Monday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. ESPN, The Game, Nashville, and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's four locations. Help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness. For more information, visit and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Check them out, drinkfocus.com, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Hey, join ESPN 102.5 The Game this Wednesday and Thursday for the Bud Light Preds Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cave. Drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Capitals and the Blue Jackets on Wednesday and Thursday. Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cave, 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. Puck drop 6 o'clock. Both nights. Hopefully we'll play. By the way, my phone has blown up with everybody texting me about the caller that we just had.
Yes.
So all
in your
I said,
defense, which never happens.
Well, not just the text line. You've got the text line.
Yes.
I've got like the phone.
Personal
like,
text line.
My phone of people that are like, so wait a minute, hold on. So just to recap it, Chris Sanders both called in and texted me. And I do love Chris Sanders. I am not offended by that call. See, there are people that are now worried that I'm offended that that guy was because that guy was offended. And so now we go into this endless loop of being offended and not offended, which is essentially what cable news is, right? Like, so Fox News is offended because how dare somebody say this on CNN? And then CNN is offended because Fox News said this. So that's, and so look, I don't celebrate Christmas. You all are so welcome to celebrate it however you'd like. I also don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but I know that it is going on right now. I believe today is Kuji Chakalia, the second day of Kwanzaa. I am not sitting here telling you how to or not celebrate it. But also the line of like, hey, this is the South. You better get on board with Christmas. Like,
but you can celebrate whatever, or you can, you know, practice whatever religion you want.
Is what it is.
How about we all just let each other do our own things?
Yes.
And then not worry about it.
Yes.
That sounds like a good idea.
Do you know today was Kuji Chakalia?
I did not. I've actually never, I didn't know that that was the second day of Kwanzaa, but I appreciate you opening my eyes to that.
We learned about Kwanzaa at USN. They had a Kwanzaa song, and so you'd learn all the days of Kwanzaa, so that's how I know.
That's lovely.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Ryan in Nashville texts in and says, I love how no one is talking about the Titans. Let them talk about the Colts, the Bills, the Chiefs, etc. The Titans are best under the radar and play best when they're the underdog.
So I do think there is a level to this that the Titans are going to be able to exploit with the nobody respects you. And let me be completely honest as far as the national media is concerned. Nobody respects you. Skip Bayless, and we played it in the last segment, Skip Bayless saying don't let this team get the one seed is like the nicest thing that any real commentator with juice has said about the Titans. And when I talk about any real commentator with juice, I mean like a guy that people actually expect to have a real opinion, right? So like all these guys on NFL Network, to me, they're all the same. They all work for the league-owned network. They all just, whatever's asked of them. You know, they're never too hard on somebody. It's like, no, you'll never see somebody on NFL Network say, you know, I think that the Steelers just flat out suck. So there's no reason to take anything from this Kansas City game because Pittsburgh is so bad and Ben needs to hang it up. And it's embarrassing that Tomlin can't get these wide receivers to stop committing unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. And I just think the Steelers need to tank the rest of the year because they're that bad. Like, you're never going to see that on NFL Network. Deion Sanders did it a little bit and Michael Irvin occasionally, but he's just kind of crazy. Like, in reality, like, the real guys with juice around the country, nobody's talking about the Titans. And I think it's because they don't respect the Titans. So I think Vrabel can play this up about the fact that nobody respects you. Now, you know what I do think?
What?
A.J. Brown got designated to return last week, and we made a big deal out of it. Like, A.J. comes back Thursday. What's it mean for the Titans? How big is A.J. going to be? All those things. Do you notice nobody around the country talked about that? Like it wasn't on SportsCenter. You know, this just in, Adam Schefter reporting that A.J. Brown has been added to the return to play off of IR and could play Thursday night.
It wasn't talked about, and I feel like whenever there's any sort of National Titans talk, it revolves around one person.
And that's exactly where I'm going with this. Because when that news comes out, that will be a big story.
That will be Adam Schefter, SportsCenter, First Take, Get Up.
That will be Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. Does Henry make the Titans a threat to Kansas City? That's what that will be. And I thought about that today. That when it is, whenever Derrick Henry gets added to the practice list, then it will become, if Tennessee gets Henry back, what about Kansas City? And then I think you'll have some real debates there. And maybe that's why the national media is leaving the Titans alone right now. Because they know the Titans, as currently constructed, cannot compete. And they can't compete. The Titans cannot. We said this the day that it came out that Derrick Henry broke his foot. We said, if he doesn't come back, it's over. If he does come back, you got a shot. And I'm not sure at any point through this run, without him, have I ever thought anything differently. I think I've been the exact same the whole time. If he comes back, you got a shot. If he doesn't, you might beat the Chargers at home in the first round of the playoffs and maybe get lucky with some early upsets or something. So you draw into a team who's not very good in that second game. But, I mean, you're not going to Arrowhead with Deontay Foreman and an offensive coordinator that refuses to understand how the game is flowing and beating the Chiefs. By the way, Downing, when we talk about mistake-free football and the Titans' chances of winning, we need to start talking about Todd Downing, not screwing this up. Because I worry that there is an element of him that if Derrick Henry's not out there, because Derrick dictates the terms on offense. And that's why early in the season, especially when they were winning, we weren't complaining too much about the play calling because Derrick was dictating what you did. Oh, you put 11 men in the box? Okay, we'll throw. Oh, Derrick's getting 7 yards a crack? Let's give it to him again. But now that Downing kind of has a little bit more autonomy as far as play calling is concerned, I keep bringing this up with you guys. I just think he doesn't have any feel for the game. And that would scare me in an AFC playoff game against the Cincinnati, where you're running the ball effectively on Cincinnati and you've given it to Derrick 18 times and you don't know how much more you can give it to Derrick because he's still kind of coming back. Whereas I'd watch the game and say, give it to Foreman. I wonder if Downing would say, well, you know, let's go to the air and let's try something new. And now Jesse Bates has an interception and you lose. Downing right now is kind of a liability. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phone. 615-737-1025 on a reaction Monday. 615-737-1025. So there were two games I did not watch. And I'm not going to pretend that I watched them, but they do have major Titan ramifications. I'll explain that next. Right here on a reaction Monday, Stillman and Company, 615-737-1025. Hey, this Thursday, tune into the Transperfect Music City Bowl on 102.5 The Game and our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits, as the Tennessee Vols take on Purdue at Nissan Stadium. Kickoff at 2 o'clock. Coverage of the game presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Tickets are available at musiccitybowl.com.
Ready for the shotgun snap. Joe has the ball. Drops back 3 steps. He fires.
Boom.
And it is caught by T. Higgins. Touchdown, Bengals. As he ran a post pattern, got position inside of Darryl Worley and hauls in Burrow's 4th touchdown pass of the game.
If I'm not mistaken, the color analyst for the Bengals is one of those like yellers and screamers. And so that tells you how bad of a blowout it was.
You not a yeller and screamer?
I'm not an analyst on the games.
I know, but I'm just saying.
I did one half of play-by-play for the Music City Bowl 3 years ago. And
did you yell?
I called the game. And honestly, I don't think I did. I thought I was a very professional, Ian, when Floyd and I got randomly pushed into Music City Bowl play-by-play
duties. I thought it was pretty fun.
No preparation time. And it got Sturgill sitting down there like looking at me being like, 10 yards or 15 yard, whatever. And I'm like, that's a gain of 16. And he's down to the 31-yard line for Kentucky. It's a first down.
That is fun.
But I was surprised because normally the color analyst for the Bengals is a screamer and a yeller and is like, yeah, 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 you know, whatever, which tells you when it's the fourth touchdown pass of the game and it's 100
yeah,
to nothing.
Yeah, the first couple that I saw or heard, I guess, definitely a little bit more. Go, TB, go, TB. Tyler Boyd with the long one and get in there, Joe, get in there, Joe. It was pretty good.
So your man, Joe Burrow, Caroline,
that is my
absolutely
man.
Lit it up yesterday. So there were two games that affect the Titans. I tweeted this out yesterday. I said, I am watching New England Buffalo, and I am rooting for Buffalo, and I don't care about anything outside of New England Buffalo, knowing that there were other games that affected the Titans. But New England Buffalo, I thought, was the most important game as far as the Titans were concerned, and I think I probably was right. I did not watch the Bengals, and I did not watch the Chargers. Now, I watched primetime with Boomer and Booger, you know, on ESPN Plus, the old, you know, NFL primetime. He could go all the way. So I watched that. And this is the sense I got. Baltimore's in a really bad spot, injury and COVID-wise. And Cincinnati, if you give that Joe Burrow time, he will throw the ball on anybody. He looked like Dan Marino back there. Just, I mean, tall, big, strong arm, good receivers. I mean, I'm not one of these guys that's going to drop my pants and say Joe Burrow is going to be the league MVP for the next 15 years. But I'm also not saying it. The other game, the Chargers and the Texans, it just looked like Justin Herbert, who for most of the year I felt the way that I was just talking about Joe Burrow, which was, hey, do you give that Justin Herbert time? He's got a rocket launcher on his right arm, and he can throw the ball anywhere, anytime, on anybody. He just threw the ball to the Texans. And every time you thought, looking at the score, that the Chargers were like, okay, now they're going to come back, the Texans made some really great play. Whether it was like a Rex Burkhead 75-yard touchdown run or a big throw. Davis Mills, I think, had like 200-something yards and didn't throw a pick. And again, I'm just watching highlights here. I didn't watch these games. But Herbert was awful. And Booger said after the game, and again, I don't know how much Booger watched, but he said that he felt like the Chargers let last Thursday night's loss to the Chiefs beat them twice and that they weren't ready to play against the Texans. So what do we make of those two losses? Because right now, the Chargers are out of the playoffs, and this was a team that for most of the year, I think we all thought was for sure going to be in the playoffs, and the Bengals currently have the third seed, and if all goes chalk in the AFC playoffs, Joe Burrow and the Bengals are walking into Nissan Stadium in the divisional round. What do we make of those two scenarios?
I mean, the Chargers loss was bad.
That's a bad loss.
And I kind of walked away from that game thinking, is Davis Mills good? Like, is Davis Mills going to be an issue for the Titans moving forward?
So did you watch any of it? Like, did you red zone and see the cut-ins?
I saw highlights of it, but I didn't watch all four quarters, no.
Because I one thing I'm having a hard time with is people that don't watch the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on, like, TV, radio, and they start telling you, hey, Davis, to what you said, Davis Mills is going to be a problem, and you got to watch out. And you...
I didn't say that he would.
No.
I'm asking the question.
I'm not accusing you of that. What I'm saying is I want to make sure that, like, we don't do that because
right.
I want to be honest with the audience. And I don't want to, like, put my, you know, it's like the Dolphins, right? The Dolphins have won 6 games in a row. I'm not sure Tua is any good, but I wouldn't know because I haven't watched.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched one Dolphin game this year. One game. They played Jacksonville in London. And because that kickoff was at like 9 a.m., I watched that game. They lost to Jacksonville. Well, there's not a lot to take away from that for the team that's probably going to come in here. Now, I'm going to watch tonight on Monday Night Football. But they're going to smoke New Orleans, who's got Ian Book starting at quarterback. And I never even thought Ian Book was good when he was in college. But I'm just, like, that's the thing is, I don't walk away from that Texan win and think, oh, man, now the Titans have to find a way to win that last week against the Texans. But maybe that was the reality of the game yesterday. Because they forced some fumbles, and mm-hmm. Herbert threw some bad interceptions. And then with Burrow, I mean, everybody's going to be just in love with Burrow. I think the Ravens are... I thought that for them to get as far as they've gotten, given their circumstances with injuries and COVID and lack of Lamar Jackson, is probably a little commendable. But I think the Ravens are so hurt and so COVID that I'm not sure that most of the AFC quarterbacks wouldn't have done. Like, they probably wouldn't have thrown for 500 yards, but I think Josh Allen would have had a field day against him. I think Patrick Mahomes would have had a field day against him. I think that that's the state of what the Ravens are in. But maybe Joe's just that good.
And that's kind of how I feel about the Bengals win, because I don't want to take anything away from it, because you don't throw for 550 yards on accident.
Sure.
You don't take a bad quarterback and instantly just plug him into the best franchise game in history. But also, this Ravens team is decimated. So, yeah, I do think that there's a good bit of the top half of the AFC that could play the Ravens right now and not put up 550 yards, but also put up a good bit of yards and a good bit of points against this Ravens team, because they are just absolutely decimated.
And the other thing about the Bengals is this, and we'll all see the Bengals this week because they're playing the Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
Is that a noon kickoff?
I don't know.
Somebody out there, please tell me it's 325. Please tell me Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are calling that game. Because if I got to watch Titans and I don't get to watch the Kansas City Bengals game, I'm going to be hurt a little bit. That is like a must-see television
game.
That
game is at noon.
No!
That's a bummer.
Oh, why? 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 Santa, what did I do? Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. And instead,
probably watching football on Christmas Day.
Instead,
that's what you get.
Instead, Santa, you are making me watch Tua play Ian Book tonight. Oh, no. Oh, why did we have to watch Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy G on national TV when we could watch Mahomes and Joe Burrow? Why did we have to see that crappy Steeler team play them? We knew on Friday. We said, oh, man, the Steelers are going to get killed. Because we saw the Steelers the week before, and we knew how bad they were. And I just want to watch every second of Joe Burrow. Because I want to see if Cincinnati's for real.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if the Titans are going to get the one seed in the AFC. Oh, why, why, why? Oh, it's tough. I live a tough life, but I tell you.
That is really hard for you. I'm sorry.
Oh, why? Somebody told me Fox has the doubleheader. Let me just say this. Send the game to Fox. If John Madden can go from CBS, I watched the Madden thing this weekend. I thought it was pretty good.
I watched a good bit of it. It was really cool.
If Madden can go from CBS to Fox like that, surely the Chiefs and the Bengals game can go to Fox like that.
I would be fully supportive of that.
Oh, why? Instead, Joe Buck is going to be calling some meaningless Cowboy game. Pull it up.
It's always the Cowboys.
Fox? Cowboys, Packers, and occasionally the Rams. Those are
Cowboys play the Cardinals this week.
Is that our game of the
week?
That's
325 Fox. So
No! Oh, no! Oh, God. The best league in the world. The number one entertainment product. Floyd told me one time that they were at like an owner's meeting or something. And Al Davis stands up and says, boys, we have the number one entertainment product in the world. Don't screw it up.
They screwed it up this week.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 is our number. We got to talk about Titan fans, because the Tannehill crybaby sensitivity is through the roof. We'll get to that coming up next. Who's trying to lose weight now that the holidays are over and New Year's is upon us? Your New Year's resolution may be to drop some pounds. And it is hard to drop those pounds because you've tried. Give Semaglutide a try. Semaglutide is carried exclusively at Invigorate Health within a location in Mount Juliet and one coming very, very, very soon at the start of the year out in Franklin. Invigorate Health has Semaglutide. What is Semaglutide? It's a drug that's been around for years, but has recently been approved by the FDA for weight loss in July of 2021. Men's Health Magazine in November said this is the breakthrough for people with weight loss issues and weight related problems. It's Semaglutide. It's a safe drug. I talked to my primary care doctor before talking to you about it, and she said it is a great drug. Semaglutide. Do your own research on it, but it is carried exclusively by my friends at Invigorate Health. They're online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. Put Invigorate Health into your phone. Give them a call today and let them walk you through the process. It's that simple. Get those stubborn pounds off with Semaglutide, carried exclusively at Invigorate Health.